Today we're going to be in 2 Timothy, so if you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy. Today we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Going to be looking at verses 7 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, looking at verses 7 through 8. The title of today's sermon is, You Can Be a Champion. You can be a champion. God's Word says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who loved his appearing. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are great. God, you are amazing. God, you are the chain breaker, Lord. God, you can take every burden, every trouble that we have, and you can get rid of it, Lord. God, you promise you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You promise that you'll always be there with us. And Lord, help us to have that faith today. Help us to have that trust today. Help us to believe in you today, Jesus. God, you can do anything. And Lord, we pray that you'll move mountains in this service today. God, whether there's people that have come with burdens on their heart, whether they be financial burdens or health burdens or relationship burdens or whatever burdens are on their heart, I pray that today is the day that you would release those chains from them. And help them to have faith and to trust in you for your guidance and your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done, but we thank you most for giving your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So does anybody know what today is? Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday. So it's a day where people are excited, where hundreds of thousands of people, they do something. They cuddle around their TV, and they watch these guys play with a brown ball. It's exciting. And they eat snacks and game time snacks, lots of little desserts. They cheer and toast their favorite sports teams. They watch new commercials. How many people like the commercials more than the game? Oh, man, there's a lot of commercial watchers. That's right. And they enjoy fellowship with their friends, I'm telling you. So the Super Bowl, but it's not really just about food and commercials and friends, right? The Super Bowl is where people get together, where they celebrate these two teams that are champions. These two teams that have fought so hard all year long to be where they are today. But you see, there can't be a bunch of champions in the Super Bowl. There can only be one team. And in about 5 or 6 hours from now, we'll start to see who that team prevails, who the world champion is in Super Bowl 51. You know what's the common thing between both of these teams? They both played hard. They both played as good as they know how to play. They've been through some good and bad. They've had some trials and some tribulations. Maybe you have too. These people, they've played in the hot and the cold, the wet and the rain. Even some of them played in the snow. But both teams have paid the price to finish at the top of their division. Both teams are without a doubt champions. You see, champions aren't born. Champions are made. And these teams, they train, they push, they stretch to become the champions they are. And I was thinking about champions. I was thinking about Bible champions. I mean, who in the Bible, can you name a person who in the Bible would be seen as a champion? Who wants to share something? Who's a person in the Bible that was a champion? David. Yes. Paul was a champion. That's good. David was a champion. Yes. Samson was a champion. Absolutely. Strongest man we know of, right? Who else was a champion? Isabel? Isabel, did you have somebody? Jesus was a champion. Amen. That's right. What about a lady champion? All we've mentioned is guys so far. Is there a woman champion in the Bible?
Deborah.
Yes. Deborah's a champion. Ruth is a champion. Yes. Esther's a champion, yep.
Elizabeth.
Lois and Eunice, Elizabeth, there's all kinds of champions in the Bible, isn't there? And so as I was looking at all these champions in the Bible, I come to the conclusion that anybody who God used for his glory from the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation is a champion in the Bible, amen? So whether you're talking about Abraham, David, Moses, Peter, Ruth, Deborah, they're all champions. But today I want to talk to one that really stands out in my mind, who stands out as a person who never failed to give in to the New Testament. No matter what God had called this person to do, this person just prevailed through it all. He penned most of the New Testament. Does anybody know who that is? Paul, that's right. So I'm going to talk about Paul today. Out of all the people I see, I think Paul, he understood a lot of the things that God wanted. And he used his writings to inspire the church so that the church could become part of what it is today. And so let's look back at 2 Timothy 4:7-8, because Paul is the one who wrote this. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Therefore is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but all to also who loved his appearing. So the title of today's sermon is, You Can Be a Champion. You see, remember, champions, they're not made by accident. They're not created by osmosis. They're made by purpose and deliberation. It takes work to be a champion. It takes work to be a champion. And so Paul, he was willing to put in the work. And he had some championship attributes that I want to talk about today that not just Paul could have, but every single one of us could have. So these champions, I want you to know that you're the one who makes the decision whether you're a champion or not. You see, you get up every single morning, every single day, and you have the option to wake up and think about all the bad things and be depressed and unhappy and miserable. Or you have the option to think about all the good things that God has blessed you with and all the new opportunities that are there. I've shared with you many times before, when I wake up in the morning, I pray, God, I don't know what your plans are for today, but I want to be a part of it. Whatever you have for me, Lord, lead and guide me down that path and I will do it. And you know what? I can tell you, every day is different in my life. I never have a boring day, that's for sure. But if you want to be a champion for Christ, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter if you are a Christian for a long time or a little while. God can use you as a champion, but you have to take the initiative to be the man or woman that God wants you to be. You have to make it up in your mind that you're going to be a champion for Jesus Christ. Those people in the Super Bowl today, all those people are champions in their own right. They worked hard. They planned hard. They studied hard. They practiced hard. But you know what you don't see is they gave up things and they suffered so that they could become champions. And sometimes as Christians, we have to give up things and we have to suffer a little bit if we want to be champions for Jesus Christ. I'll tell you today, if you're going to be a champion for the Lord, you're going to have to make some choices, some pretty hard choices. But if you want to be a champion, that's what it takes. You're going to have to start putting God first in your life. Not last, not second, not when you have no energy left at the end of the day. You're going to have to start putting him first in your life. If you want to be a champion, God needs to be first in your marriage. If you're putting your husband or wife first in your marriage, it'll fail. God has to be first in your marriage, then your husband and wife, and it will work. God has to be first in your family, first in your career. If you're going to be a champion for God, you have to get your head in the game. What do you think about most times? If we were honest, most of the things we think about in our life are our own personal problems. Does anybody agree with that? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen, don't we? We think about our own personal problems. But if you want to be a champion, you got to get your head in the game. And Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You know, the funny thing is we're only going to live on the face of this earth 40, 50, 60, 70, maybe 100 years. But eternity, we're going to be there forever. Like I shared with you, it's like a marriage license. It never ends. Well, I guess a marriage license ends when death does you part. But anyway, you guys know that story. But I'm telling you, eternity, it's a long time. And so we spend all this time just worrying about a few years. But yet, we need to worry about things of the Lord. If you're going to be a champion for God, you got to read and follow the playbook. You couldn't be a successful winning coach if you didn't follow a playbook. How are you going to be a successful and winning Christian if you don't read this? It's not going to happen. You need to read the playbook. God's word tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you're going to be a champion, you got to heed the word of Jesus Christ. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. You know, we need to make a decision to follow the Lord every day. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I already made that decision once. Well, man, I wish it was that easy. But if you're going to be a Christian every day, you got to decide. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of those days are going to be great days and easy days. Other days are going to be sick, like poor Connie's been dealing with for the last week or so. Some are going to be tough days. So you got to put God first in your life, not just sometimes, not just when it's convenient, not just when there's nothing better to do in life, but you got to make a conscious effort to do that. If you want to be a champion, you got a choice to make. And that choice is deciding whether or not you're willing to put in the work to become the champion that God wants you to become. Just that simple. I choose to be a champion for the Lord. I looked inside and I choose. I'm going to be a champion for the Lord. I don't care what it takes. I know there's going to be hard days. I know there's going to be days that aren't so simple. I know there's going to be days where I'm going to be tired and weary and where I'm going to want to give up. But I follow what Joshua says. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you have to make that decision too. You know why? You know why I want to be a champion? Because the payoff is the championship. It's going to heaven for eternity. It's having Jesus to walk with me every single day. It's to have a personal relationship with the one who created me. So I don't know about you, but I choose to be a champion. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You see, you can't get to heaven by works. It's not about works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. This is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast." So it's not about works that's going to get you into heaven. That's not what's going to make you a champion. What's going to make you a champion is you making a decision in your life. And you know, when you make that decision in your life and you start to take those first couple steps, they're pretty rough. But as you get into it, it gets a little easier. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, "I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith." I want to talk about those things. First, he says, "I have fought." How many people have ever fought before? Fist fight, argument, come on, yeah, you fought. You know what it takes to fight, right? Yeah, so sometimes you got to get in there and you got to fight. He says, "I fought the fight." Now, Paul, he was a loving, caring guy, but he was also strong. And if you read his word, you'll see sometimes he was pretty abrasive. But he knew what he wanted. He knew what his purpose was. Paul was a fighter. He wasn't a quitter. Listen to what Paul had gone through in 2 Corinthians 11:22 and 31. Says, "Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I'm in danger from Gentiles. I'm in danger in the city. I'm in danger in the country. I'm in danger at the sea and in danger from false believers. I've labored and I've toiled and I've often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I don't feel weak? Who is led to sin and I don't inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. The God and the Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying." You see, only a fighter could go through all those things. We look at our life and we say, "You don't realize what I've gone through today, Pastor. You don't know how hard my day has been." You know what my answer should be? "Oh, were you shipwrecked today? Like Gilligan's Island? Oh, well, no, that didn't happen. Oh, were you lashed 40 times? Somebody take off your clothes and whip you 40 times? Well, no, it really wasn't that bad. Were you left for dead? Oh, well, Pastor, you're taking this out of context a little bit. Oh, no, you said you had a rough day. I was just wondering how it compared to Paul's." I'm not saying that Paul is the one we look up to. We look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul, he wasn't a superhuman. He wasn't a superhero. He was a man just like you and I. He had flesh and bones. He bled. He was upset. He was sad. He was happy. He had all the same things that we went through. All I'm saying is that he was a fighter for the Lord. When God called him to do something, he wouldn't give up. And so let me ask you today, are you a fighter for the Lord? Without a doubt, Paul was. In Philippians 4:13, he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." He didn't say, "I can do something sometimes through Christ who strengthens me." And that's how we live as Christians today. We're like, "Well, I might be able to do that. Well, I'm not sure. I really don't have the skill to do that. God, you can't possibly want me to do that." That's not how the scripture is interpreted. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So Paul, he had faith. He trusted. He wasn't worried. He went in and he went after it. He was a champion. Every single day we go through some troubles, don't we? We fight good things and bad things, right? Don't we? Yeah, we deal with good things and bad things every single day in our life. We have a decision. We can make good decisions or bad decisions. Like Addie, if you decided, "I'm not doing my homework this week," Would that be a good decision or a bad decision?
She had to look at mom first.
She's like, it would be a good decision for me, Pastor, but mom might not be so happy about it.
No, that was kind of funny because I forgot to do my homework.
Isn't that weird? Miraculous how the Lord works. I had no idea. Sorry about that, Addie. She's like, that's kind of funny because I forgot to do my homework. Anyway, now you messed up my whole train of thought with my sermon. But I'm telling you, I mean, we fight good and bad things every day. We got to make good and bad decisions every day. And so Ephesians 6:11-13, it puts it like this. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Sometimes it's all we can do just to stand. As a Christian, sometimes the only thing you can do is get out of bed in the morning and say, God, I'm tired. I'm weak. My faith is shaken. I'm having a rough time. Please help me through this day. Sometimes that's all we got. But you know, God said that's all you need. He said if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that you can move a mountain. God's not calling you to do something you can't do. He's calling you to do something that you can do. That's what God wants. So don't be a quitter. Fight like Paul. He was a fighter. The second I have, he shares in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have finished. Has anybody ever finished 8th grade? Does it feel good to graduate? Has anybody ever finished being a, say, a member of the Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts, you know, and moved on to the next? Finishing feels good, doesn't it? Here's one. Has anybody ever finished putting together a puzzle? Oh, you guys are a lot better than I am. Those puzzles, they're my nemesis. Every year at Christmas, Shannon buys a puzzle. You know, why don't you buy the 25-piece puzzle with the pieces this big? You don't know, she's got to buy the ones with 1,000 pieces. And then let me tell you what happens in my house. I want to be a finisher, but here's what happens. She starts building it. And then she looks over at me. Well, I'm enjoying myself playing some video games, watching TV or something. She looks over at me. So I take that as this needs to be good husband and wife quality time. So I go in there and I pick out all the border pieces. We make a lot of progress the first day. But then it sits on that table for days and weeks. And then you know what happens? I'm a klutz. I knock it off. I put books on it. Before you know it, we don't even know if we have all the pieces anymore. So in my mind, you might as well just throw it away. But you see, my wife doesn't have that mind. She's not a quitter. She's a finisher. She's like... She's very quiet, taken. She just goes in there and starts working on it, and she gives me that look. I would love to put together the puzzle right now. And then I go work on it. Well, you know what? I won this time because while she was at work, I put the puzzle in the box. And I cleaned the table because we had company coming over. Woo! So I finished that puzzle. I may not have completed the design, but I finished the puzzle for now, and now I'm getting terrible stares in the back of my life. But Paul, he was a finisher. He didn't quit. He would finish what he started. And that's what we got to do. One of the problems with us Christians is when the going gets tough, instead of the tough get going, we kind of give up. We throw in the towel. We say, well, if it was this hard, God wouldn't want me to do it because God, he would plow the path for me to be able to do it. Well, he didn't plow the path for Paul. Paul had a lot of hard things that he went through. So I want to tell you today, I want you to underline the scripture. I want you to write it in your phone. I want you to use this when you go through a tough time in life. Romans 8:31. Anytime you're going through a tough time in life, I want you to remember that scripture. Romans 8:31. You know what it tells you? It says that you are more than conquerors. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Next time you're weak, next time you're tired, next time you think about giving up, Romans 8:31, you're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So let me tell you, I know we're fighting battles today. If you're fighting a relationship problem, I don't want you to give up. I want you to seek God. If you're being bullied, picked on, made fun of, don't give up. Seek God. If you got some kind of illness or ailment or sickness, don't give up. Just keep seeking God. If you have depression, just take that one step. Don't give up. Seek God. Because God said in Romans 8:31, what? We are more than conquerors. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Paul was no quitter. He didn't give up. He wasn't the guy who would look for a church where he could sit in a pew, listen to a message, and say, well, I don't really want to rock the boat, so I'm not going to live out any of that stuff I learned today. That wasn't the guy that Paul was. Paul wasn't a quitter. I don't think the word quit was in that man's vocabulary. And it shouldn't be in our vocabulary today, too. If we want to be a champion for God, we can't give up. Think about this. What if Jesus was the quit? What if he was the throw in the towel when the going got tough? What if when he was sitting there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying and he would say, God, take this cup from me. God said, he decided he wasn't going to take that cup for him, that Jesus had to go through all this. What if Jesus said, you know what? This is too much for these people. I'm just not doing it. Where would you be today? Where would I be today? We wouldn't have forgiveness of sins, I could tell you that much. We wouldn't be on a path to heaven. Thank God that Jesus didn't give up and that he wasn't a quitter. Jesus was a champion. One of you even said it. And so if he was a champion, then we can be champions too. So don't give up the fight, Christians. Fight the good fight and finish the race. The last thing I want to share with you is that Paul, he was a man who kept the faith. He went through a lot of troubles. You heard about shipwrecked and naked and hungry and all this stuff. But he kept his faith through all that. Sometimes I think we take that verse, you know, the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. We may have it memorized, but we forget about it. We go through a tough time. We think, oh, God's not going to help me through this now. God's not going to do this. It's like we give up our faith. When God, you know, if you get down and pray, God will slap you around a little bit. He does it to me all the time. Whenever I start that woe is me pity party, I get down on my knees and I start praying, and God's like, well, you don't think I'll answer your prayer? So what about how I took care of this situation? Oh, yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about, God. I'm talking about this new situation. Okay, well, what about this situation, Alan? How did I take care of that one for you? Well, yeah, you did a pretty good job on that one, too. Well, what about this one? And then you know what? I say, God, forgive me. You're right. You could handle everything. The problem is I'm trying to fix it on my own instead of trusting you. So we got to keep our faith. Paul kept his faith. He was a keeper. In John 14:1-3, it talks about what the champion is going to receive. It says, let not your heart be troubled, and believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Someday, folks, you and I and all those that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior will go to heaven someday. So keep the faith, Christians. No matter what persecution or trial you're facing today, the Lord can and he will bring you out of it. So keep the faith. Paul says this. He says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. You see, Paul, he was rejoicing in the victory. He didn't have it yet, but he was rejoicing because he knew one day he was going to be in heaven. One day he wasn't going to be shipwrecked. He wasn't going to be naked. He wasn't going to be thirsty or hungry. One day he was going to be in heaven. So he would rejoice in the victory that he had. And today we're going to see one team rejoice in their hard fight, hard-earned and much-deserved victory of Super Bowl 51. But greater than any Super Bowl is that someday you and me, we're going to be able to rejoice too. We've had a hard fight victory all of our lives, but we're going to be able to rejoice because we're going to be in heaven someday. You know all those people that we love that have passed away that were Christians? We're going to see them. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that victorious day. When we stand at the gates of heaven, the judgment seat of Christ, and we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. What more could you ever want? Paul kept the faith. He knew without faith it was impossible to please God. And in keeping the faith, he knew that he pleased God. As a Christian, isn't that what we want to do? Don't we want to please God? So fight the good fight. Finish the race. And keep the faith. I want to give you one more thought before I close today. Nobody on those two teams in the Super Bowl today got there by accident. They didn't get there by accident. Every single one of them, from the owners to the water boys, they planned on this moment. They planned on the moment 5.5 hours from now where they would be today. They had every intention and expectation of being there. So what about you? This all comes down to you. Do you want to be a champion for Christ? I'm wearing this little thing here today because I want to be a champion for Christ. There are some days I feel that I'm not worthy. But you know, I'm thankful God doesn't care about those emotional feelings I have. If I confessed Jesus is Lord and asked him to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, it doesn't really matter how I feel that day. That's a promise that God gave me in Romans 10, 9 and 10. He says, no one can snatch me out of his hand because I'm his child. He says, as a child, I've inherited everything that his son has had. Everything in the kingdom of God. You know, when I pass away, my son and my daughter, they'll have everything that I have. They have everything that I have now. You know, if you're really a child of God, you have everything that God has right now. That means you have mercy, you have grace, you have forgiveness. You know what's better than that? You have the power to overcome anything. You got the power to overcome those demons in your life. You got the power to overcome addictions in your life. You have the power of Jesus. You know the only thing standing between you and being a champion is you. You got to make that decision in your mind. I want to be a champion. So here we are today. You're not going to be a champion for God on accident. You're not going to be a champion by giving up, by throwing in the towel, by quitting and not finishing. Finishing is in the essence of winning. Today, church, you have a choice to make. Are you going to choose to be a champion by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? By fighting the good fight every single day? By finishing the race and keeping the faith? Or are you just going to sit on the sidelines, never making an impact or even a dent on the world for Christ? You see, the choice really is yours. God's given you everything you need to be a champion. Everything. You just have to do it. Get your head in the game. Like it says in Colossians 3:2. Stop worrying about your own problems. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Read and follow the playbook. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And live for the Lord daily. Luke 9:23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I want to be a champion. I am a champion. There are days I don't win, but I'm a champion because my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is my Father. It's up to you today. Do you want to make God your champion? If you do, today's the day to make that decision. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, God, because we know you're the mighty and powerful, God. We know that if you're for us, who can be against us? God, we know all these things in Scripture. We got them on our minds, but where are they in our hearts? Where are they in our actions? God, I pray that you'd take us from the state we're in today, whatever state that would be, and you'd help us to make up our minds that we are going to be a champion. We are going to fight. We are going to be in there. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. That we love you, Lord. God, help us to be those men and women you've called us to be. Now, God, I don't want to be shipwrecked. I don't want to be left for dead. I don't want to go through any of that stuff that Paul had to go through. But you know what, Jesus? If that's what I need to go through to share your word to everybody, then God, send me there. I'll go. Lord, I want to serve you. You lived and died for me. Now it's my turn to live. And if necessary, to die for you. Lord, help us to be champions. Help us to make that decision today.